Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. I'm Erica, the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha. And as you know, Bring Your Own Kombucha is both a podcast and a blog. And today's podcast episode features Lauren Everts of The Skinny Confidential, who is definitely very influential in me creating a blog and going for creating the podcast here. She is definitely somebody that I aspire to be, so it was truly an honor to have her on the podcast. We literally talked about everything from her relationship with her husband and how that dynamic works since they work together in business. We talk about her skincare regime and how you need to order yourself a facial. And yes, I say order, and she'll explain how that works. And then also we talk about literally everything from like her favorite books to her personal inspiration and how she remains real with the audience. It's really a jam-packed episode. I tried to cover as many topics as I could, and I truly believe that you guys are going to love this episode. So without further ado, let me chat just a little bit about our podcast sponsor, which is Lotus Soap Shop. Lotus Soap Shop is a small shop run by Elizabeth, and she makes handmade, natural, non-toxic bath and body products. All of her products are made in small batches with high-quality organic ingredients and are 100% therapeutic-grade essential oils. Lotus Soap Shop scrubs have a sea salt base mixed with coconut oil, jojoba oil, and then other natural ingredients. She uses jojoba oil or dead sea salt for exfoliating, and she uses spices such as cinnamon, turmeric, black sea salt, rosemary, lavender, and the like. Her goal is to really keep the ingredients simple and natural so that people know exactly what they're putting into their body. I mean, we can all really get on board with that, right? Another thing that I love about her products is that they are 100% cruelty-free, and most of them are vegan. So really, they are accessible for everyone. Now, let me kind of like dive into why exactly you should be using body scrubs. If you haven't yet, head over to my blog to check out my recent blog post on my first spray tan ever. Before tanning, it's imperative to exfoliate your skin. So, of course, I used Lotus Soap Shop Rosemary Mint Body Scrub, and it worked perfectly. But the reason you need to exfoliate is because when you exfoliate, you're actually removing dead skin cells from your body. And when your skin is dry, that means that you actually have dead skin. And exfoliation removes that dry, dead skin and leaves a layer of soft, smooth skin on the body. I like to exfoliate my body once a week, especially in the winter. But once you start doing it, you will definitely notice a huge difference. And it's also important to note that if you have dead skin, whatever you're putting on top of your skin, like lotions or oils, they're not going to be able to permeate through that dead skin. So it's really important that you take care of your body and you examine your skin and you keep it in the best shape that you possibly can. If you want to purchase your own Lotus Soap Shop scrubs, head over to www.lotussoapshop.com and use promo code BYOK20 for 20% off your entire purchase. Elizabeth has a variety of scents, and she actually just came out with minis that are as little as $5. As always, thank you so much for supporting the BYOK podcast sponsors, and let's jump into this super exciting episode with Lauren Everts of The Skinny Confidential. So let's jump right in because I know that you're probably tight on time. Let's see. So I actually asked a bunch of Instagrammers like what they wanted me to ask you. So I have a lot of fun questions. Okay.
Yay, I love that. That's fun. No one's ever done that. No one ever asked the audience to ask questions. I like it.
Oh, okay. So let's start with, you are literally the queen of skin regime. What are your top three skin tips?
So my top three skin tips are ones that people have probably seen me use, but the reason I've written about it is because it's really worked for me. I've always been into skin since I was little, probably since I was probably 16. I've been very into the skin. My mom always told me to never go in the sun. So that has been something that's really, you know, been on my brain my entire life. So that would be like an overall skin tip, but to get really specific and niche with you, I would definitely say that after jaw surgery, I had to learn inflammation. I was so inflamed. So my first skin tip, and this is for anyone, because I feel like we're all inflamed out, or, you know, we're hungover, or just, I feel like you just get inflamed even when it's raining out. So definitely facial massage and lymphatic drainage, which every single morning I woke up on without it. And I do that. You can do that with your hands for free. You can do it with a jade roller. You can do it with push-up. You can do it with a clarisonic uplift. The sky is kind of the limit here. So I would say start with facial massage. And I like to use an oil when I do that. Another thing that I would say is obviously sunscreen. But, you know, even more than sunscreen, I think, too, a good serum is really important. So I like a vitamin C serum. I learned all about the importance of vitamin C from Dr. Dennis Gross when he was on our podcast, and he just said that it's something that everyone should be using. I think it's something that, you know, universally everyone can be using. So I think it's like a good broad tip. I use his. I'm not sponsored by them. I just loved his stuff. And I also like his peel pads too. They're unbelievable. And then the I recommend is monthly facials. And the reason that I say that is because I think that a lot of skincare is about prevention. And to be able to get a facial, it's not luxury. It's more, I think, doing something that's for your skin. And you get so many benefits out of it that I think that it's almost like investing in your future and your youth. So I'm huge on facials. I would rather get a facial than a handbag or shoes or anything like that. I just love them. So probably, definitely, facial massage, sunscreen, serum, but that's okay. And what was the other one I said? Facial massage, sunscreen, serum, and
facials. Yeah.
I also sleep fine with oil cake, which helps, I think. That's five. Sorry, I could go on.
That's okay. So for somebody who doesn't get facials regularly, like, what would be your go-to facial? Because, I mean, I can tell from your Instagram stories that you go for facials pretty frequently, but you go for a variety of types of facials. So what would be, like, your go-to facial?
So I would micromanage the situation. Everyone's like, where do I go for lymphatic drainage in New York? I would not even, like, look. I would just go to a facialist and I would tell her what, like, it's almost like you're ordering a hamburger. Like, I would go to her and I would say, so I had jaw surgery, I'm dealing with inflammation. And if you didn't have jaw surgery, you could just say I'm dealing with inflammation. And what I want is I want a lot of facial massage throughout the whole facial. I want lymphatic drainage. And they'll know what that is, to bring it down your neck and out. I would say that I want stuff that's going to brighten and lighten my skin because I have brown spots. And I would say that I wanted to focus on my under eyes, too, because I think that you can get a lot of lymphatic drainage in the under eyes. And I would say if you have Guasha or a roller, I would love that as well. I know this is a lot, but this is how gnarly I am. And then I would say steam my face. So I would kind of create my own custom facial. I would definitely say, though, this is the most important thing to me is, like, really focus on the facial massage and lymphatic drainage, because I went in to get a facial yesterday and I swear to God, my face lost 10 pounds in it. Like, it contours your face so much. And I just think it gives you like the nicest canvas to lay products on. Another thing that I would say is anything with ice. Ice is so amazing for the skin. And supermodels have been using this trick forever. You just put ice on your face, and it's really that simple. It doesn't have to be so complex.
I love that. And I love that you just compared it to like ordering dinner. Like that's such a genius idea that some people don't even think about. And instead of looking at the menu at the salon, like you can just create what you need.
Yeah, totally. I mean, thing I do is about communication because I'm so specific that before anyone even starts any for me, I'm just really upfront with my expectation and what I want. And I think that really helps. Like if you just go in blindly to a salon to get your hair done, nails, whatever it is, it's not going to be the way you want it unless you tell them specifically and they appreciate it. And of course I'm nice about it and I say please and thank you, and the person that's working knows yourself better than anyone. You've been doing your makeup for, you know, 20 years. You know what looks good on your face and what doesn't. So for me, like, I would rather spend 5 minutes just really going over what I like, and then they can customize that just for me.
That makes so much sense. I love that. Okay, so next question is actually from one of your listeners as well, and I love this one. What would you be doing career-wise if you weren't a blogger? Like, what would you be doing today?
Definitely brand. I love branding. I'm obsessed with it. I'm a nerd about it. I am fed with why people, like, click something or why they look at something or how a brand resonates or the message. I just love the aspect of telling a story. And it's almost to the point where it's like I'm almost obsessed with that more than anything. I think like the story and the brand is your foundation. And I think so many people are so fixated on making the sale nowadays that it's rare to find someone that has a brand on all their different platforms and it all ties through and there's this whole story and kind of community that I would definitely be helping other brands refine their strategy.
I love that. And that's so evident on, like, from your Instagram, from your blog, like you definitely have your branding on point. But I'm curious, did you actually study that in college? Did you do like marketing major or what was your major?
No, I didn't learn one thing in college.
Well, I know that's like,
like not one thing.
I knew that. I was just curious if that was like your, like if you're a marketing major or something like that.
No. I think college for me was a complete waste of time. I could have been doing so many different things. I look at college as like, for me, if I could go back, I would not go to college. Now, I'm not giving that as blanket advice. I'm telling you for me. How I learned branding, I think I look back on my whole childhood and there's all these little things that I did that I can see, like, for instance, like I almost was like blogging through scrapbooks and I would like create this whole story through, you know, I loved creative writing, like all these little things kind of made up the bigger picture of what I do now. I very entrepreneurial when I was young, like I had like an embroidery stand and like that I like built myself and like I was like always the teacher like when we play school, like just like little things like that, and not to bore you, but that have kind of made up the bigger picture. I think with branding, it's something that is something that is in you. I think you can learn strategy certainly, and how I learn more strategy through branding is through podcasts and books, and the guests we've had on. I'm constantly trying to get interested in things that don't have to do with me. So every day I try to do things that are like outside of my wheelhouse. Like today I just listened to a book on tape by Seth Godin. He's like this amazing author and he has so many branding tips and I'm like learning from him. So I'm constantly like, I have this thirst to learn more about branding. And I think the more you know about it, the more interesting it is. And you just start to see that it really is the foundation. And I think that kind of gets me off on it. It's just, I find it so fascinating. And like, I just think there's so many different ways to do it now with social media too.
I love that. Oh, and since you brought that up, what book are you currently reading right now?
I am reading a couple books right now. I like to switch my brain. So I listen to books I read books like I listen to podcasts. So I listen at once. I'm reading Think and Grow Rich on Audible. So I'm listening to that.
And that sounds like it's about money. It's not. It's been recommended by all my friends. So listening to that on Audible, I just finished the book Aubrey Marcus, Own the Day, which is a great book. I highly recommend it. And it teaches you about how to have the perfect day from the morning to the night. And it's like from everything from, you know, sex and waking up and working out and getting in the cold once a day and like doing things that make you uncomfortable but mentally tough. So that book was really interesting. What else am I reading? I just bought the book The Beauty of Dirty Skin. I haven't started it yet. And then I'm also reading a book called The Clarity Cleanse. And that's a little bit more spiritual. A book that I find myself going back to a lot is Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. I just think that book has like a lot of good messages. And then a book that I'll find as a resource to go back to a lot is Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss. That one's a good one too.
Those are such good recommendations. I'm definitely going to have to link to those in the show notes. So what were some of your favorite podcast guests that you and Michael have had on your podcast?
I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite because each one brings something so different to the table. As far as personality, I would definitely say Jillian Michaels was so unapologetically herself. Like, I don't know if you can cuss on this podcast, but I'll just say she didn't give an F what anyone thinks. And I find that super attractive. Like, she's living like Herms. She was so real. She showed up just down to earth, and like it's so nice to see someone at that level have no ego. I think it's really rare. Another guest that I liked was Dr. Dennis Gross, because I'm a skincare, so I could have talked to him for like 10 hours. Tanya Zuckerbrot of S Factor was so informative, and I think that she does a really good job of bringing value, so I liked that one. We just had Kristen Cavallari on. That was really cool to talk with her, just because I followed her, you know, her journey with the Hills and Laguna Beach, and it's cool to see the brand she's built. And I think that it's not just the having the guests on, though. I think just to be able to podcast with my husband has been, like, such a learning experience in itself, and there's been so many different layers of that onion. So the podcast, I mean, you know, it's like a great way to meet people that you probably wouldn't have a conversation with on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because, first of all, Tanya and Kristen Cavallari's podcast were also my favorites. Love them. I listened to those multiple times.
Tanya's so sharp.
I find that, I mean, I couldn't imagine working with my husband the way that you do so intimately every single day. I feel like that would be a challenge for me personally. So how do you handle that? Because you guys have like, I just want to point out, because I feel like a lot of girls look up to you, not only because, you know, you're successful and you're this strong, empowering woman and you're so knowledgeable and, you know, you're going after exactly what you want and creating this community. But you also, you have, you know, in the sense you have it all, because you also have, you know, your significant other with you by your side. So how do you kind of integrate that into your business and, you know, keep it going?
You know, working with your husband is really hard. It is very, very difficult. It's doable, but it's very difficult. It's been probably one of my biggest challenges. But on the other hand, I'm like obsessed with him and I want to be with him every second. It's weird. We have like this, I think it's unique relationship where like we're really laser focused on our goal as a team. And everything we do is to build that together and to build a life together. And for us, like it's so much more than just coming home and like having sex and kissing each other and like that being the end of the day. Like what gets us off literally is like a stimulating conversation and like building our businesses and branding. It's an important part of our world. We can't even imagine what it would be like without it. So on one hand, it's super difficult and it's the hardest thing I've ever done, but like last night he went to LA without me. And it's not in like a way when I say I'm obsessed with him, I don't like, you know, want to be all over him and smother him. I'm just to him as like a almost like a dance partner. Like we just have like this camaraderie that really works in business and in life. And the goal is like so much bigger than us that it's cool to connect to someone that you know you're both driving towards the same ending, if that makes sense.
Totally. And that's so admirable. I love that.
It is a lot of work.
I really could not imagine it. Like I get what you're saying, because you're like, you know, you are just so on the same page with this person, but I would imagine that day to day that's probably pretty difficult.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's definitely a work in progress always.
So with that being said, do you have any tips for, you know, single ladies who are trying to, you know, be career oriented, but also I guess are looking for, you know, significant other to be on board with them as well?
My advice is so cutthroat about this, and I've written a lot of blog posts on this. If I wasn't with Michael, I would be single. And people are like, how do you know that? I know that because I really am a huge believer in not settling. And I'm not just talking about in a relationship. I'm talking about in life. Like, if you're unhappy with where you are and you're listening to this interview and you're at your desk or you're doing something that you don't want to be doing, I really believe that you have the power in your own hands to create the way you want to go. And if something isn't going your way, I would sit back and reevaluate how you can create a different outcome. So with a relationship, when I say don't settle, I really wouldn't for anything less than what is 100% right for me. That doesn't mean it's the perfect person. It just means if the counterpart didn't fit into what would work for me, I wouldn't have a relationship. I really think it's that simple. I think what I see is like people are looking or they're settling. Like if I was single, I would just do what I'm doing, focus on my own shit. Like, and if someone fit into that, great. And if not, like, you know, then maybe it'll come and maybe it won't. I'm just a really big believer that you don't have to do what society tells you to do, which is like get married and have a kid. Like, I think that you should do what works for you without settling. I do not believe in settling for mediocrity.
I love that advice. That's like, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's amazing advice.
I'm so glad. I hope that if you're listening at home, you guys are all creating the life that you want to live. That's what I can think about doing with. You can do whatever you want.
So shifting gears just a little bit from the podcast over to the blog, what do you find being the hardest part of being a blogger or an influencer?
I mean, I think the hardest part is probably I want to say the misconception of it, but then it's like I really don't care what the misconception is. But that is an interesting part of kind of how people put you in a box as a blogger, and they think that you just like write a picture. And there is so much more business that goes into it. Like literally, probably 80% of my day is business, and the other is content creation. I think that the probably though, if I really sat down and got real with myself, the hardest part is constant content creation. Because what happens is it becomes a point where it's like, when do you shut it off? And it also becomes a point where for my living, I'm literally showcasing my life and answering. And, you know, when you're showcasing, you don't clock out. Like it goes on and on and on and on and on. So I think that I'm just trying to find that happy medium where it's like I am sharing my life and answering questions and really doing the best way that I can, but also staying present. And I know that's a cliche answer, but that's just really kind of content creation. It never stops. You could always be creating content.
100%. And do you find being like vulnerable, especially because you are documenting your life like every single day and opening up to everybody, Do you find that difficult?
No, I think it's like something where I do get to know my audience more before I was vulnerable. I think that I am not the type of friend that just like jumps right into it. I am an open book, but at the same time, I'm careful. And I think that with my audience, what I've done is instead of, when I first started blogging, I didn't scroll for 2 years. You know, my grandma was introduced in the third year. I'm super careful with how I lay out my story. And that goes back to branding. It's like, I didn't want to overwhelm the audience with all these characters in my life. Like, I'm slow and thought out and methodical. And with vulnerability, I think that's something where it's like the audience needed to get to know me better before I just lay everything on the table. I've never want to lead with vulnerability. I never want to lead with a struggle. The struggle doesn't define me. It's not my narrative. So I've always wanted to lead with more strength. And like, of course, I think it's super important to talk about vulnerable subjects, but I think as an influencer, you have to like court your audience and get to know them and have them know you before you just like lay everything on the table.
That definitely makes sense. And I didn't realize that you basically start introducing your family like your grandmother later on in your blogging. That's so interesting. Was it the same with your relationship with Michael?
Yeah, I totally did it like an upside down triangle, very much. Like it was like, I was like super, super micro about it. Like it was health and fitness for 2 years. That's it.
So interesting, but that totally makes sense. Because I don't know, it just seems a little bit intimidating that, you know, you really do document and share with us so much, but I guess, you know, on your end, you are strategically not sharing everything, but sharing, you know, a lot of your day.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, with the vulnerability thing, I'm just trying to, like, you don't, like, when you date someone, like, I think of it like courting, if you're a guy, courting a woman, like, you don't want to just, like, right away have sex. Like, you got to get them, you got to court them, you got to feel her up and grab a boob, like pull in right away. So I think that like for me, like I just like I want the audience to know me. I want to get to know them. I want to lead with other things other than vulnerability, and like it makes sense for me to share something that's going to make a difference. That's going to impact people, and it's going to. That's when it makes sense for me. I don't want to ever lead with a story.
So interesting, but that makes so much sense. So I have one more question for you that I ask all my podcast guests, and that is, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Definitely the guava.
Ooh, that's a good one. I love that.
You know what? It's so good with champagne and plastic ice cubes, the non-BPA ones, or the BPA-free ones. With like a little splash of juice. It's so good.
I love kombucha. I'm actually pregnant right now, so I can't have kombucha or cocktails. So I'm so envious.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I'm definitely going to have to try that combination 5 months from now.
Yeah, have it in the delivery room for you on ice with the plastic ice and everything ready to go.
Oh, I already told my husband, I was like, I want champagne and sushi, like, in the, you know, right after the delivery.
Yeah, you got to communicate your needs before it happens, just like when you're ordering a facial.
Love it. Well, can you just tell us where everybody can find you and when the Bombshell Body Guide is going to come out?
So the body guide is completely rebranded. It's no longer Bombshell. It's just a Skinny Confidential Body. And I just looked at it 5 minutes before getting on the phone with you. It looks amazing. It is literally like it's a Vogue magazine single skinny tip and trick of my trainer and me. It's just everything. We literally projectiled everything. That will be out, I would say, 2 weeks. And then they can find me on my podcast at Skinny Confidential on Instagram and on my blog.
I love it. Thank you so much, Lauren. I totally appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. That was fun.
Of course.